From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth message in a series of studies in the book of Acts, entitled The Presence and Promise of Christ. This message centers around the Savior's promise of the Holy Spirit, as well as the assurance of his second coming. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional thought is entitled Thorough Cleansing. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What an exceeding joy is this! He who has purified us with the blood of Jesus will also cleanse us by the water of the Holy Spirit. God hath said it, and so it must be. Ye shall be clean. Lord, we feel and mourn our uncleanness, and it is cheering to be assured by thine own mouth that we shall be clean. Oh, that thou wouldst make a speedy work of it! He will deliver us from our worst sins, the uprisings of unbelief, and the deceitful lusts which war against the soul, the vile thoughts of pride, and the suggestions of Satan to blaspheme the sacred name. All these shall be so purged away as never to return. He will also cleanse us from all our idols, whether of gold or of clay, our impure loves, and our excessive love of that which in itself is pure. That which we have idolized shall either be broken from us, or we shall be broken off from it. It is God who speaks of what he himself will do. Therefore is this word established and sure, and we may boldly look for that which it guarantees to us. Cleansing is a covenant blessing, and the covenant is ordered in all things and sure.
O Savior, as my eyes behold the wonders of thy might untold, the heavens in glorious light arrayed, the vast creation thou hast made.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Presence and Promise of Christ, dealing with verses 4 through 11 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. In this passage, the Lord Jesus continued to prepare the apostles for their ministry by reminding them of two essential truths. The first was the promise of the Holy Spirit to give them power for service. Of particular importance was Christ's command for the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, believers must stay before God until the flesh is put down and they know true brokenness before God. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of the presence and promise of Christ.
An awful lot of Christians want to appear on the scene at the very time when revival breaks, but that is not the will of God for us. He says, tarry in the interim period. Get in there and wait there and pray there and go through with God there and have your old self will broken there and get filled with the Holy Ghost there, and then you'll have revival. Oh, for a people who are willing to obey that command and tarry in Jerusalem, broken at the feet of the Lord Jesus, until he comes with power through his Spirit. Then you'll notice the covenant. Here we come to the part which is so controverted. The promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Now what's the meaning of this promise of the Father? Well, now I want you to stick with me very closely here, because I think you'll be able to cut through the undergrowth of so much conflicting theological and doctrinal teaching if you stay with the plain, straight, simple language of Scripture. We ought never to be afraid of what the Word of God teaches. Now, let me set this out for a starter, that the subsequent references give us the details of the meaning of the promise of the Father. Let me put it another way. The fulfillment of the promise illuminates for us the meaning of the promise, so that when we see the Lord fulfilling it, we can see exactly what he meant by the promise. I think that stands to common sense. Now then, what is this promise? Well, it's called the promise of the Father, verse 4, but it's exclaimed in verse 5 as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. That baptism of the Spirit is spoken of in verse 8 as the Spirit coming upon them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's the Spirit coming upon them. In chapter 2 and verse 4, we find the fulfillment of the promise. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So the promise then means being filled with the Holy Ghost. If you turn over in the book of Acts to chapter 10 and verse 45, and just also put your finger in chapter 11 and verse 16, because I'm saying that so that you realize that the language of chapter 10, 45 is reported by Peter in chapter 11, verse 16. And chapter 11, verse 16 speaks of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. But chapter 10, verse 45 puts it in this language: and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what is this gift of the Holy Ghost, this baptism with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit coming upon them? What is this being filled with the Holy Ghost? It is the pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon them. Or to use the words of chapter 11 and verse 15, it is the Holy Spirit falling upon his people. Now all those terms, while they may have different shades of significance, they all describe the one great truth. And that is the principle that I want to lay before you. Just staying in the book of Acts, Luke in chapter 24 wraps it all up when he speaks of this as being endued with power from on high. Now then, I think with these terms before us, we can begin to understand what the promise is and what this baptism with or in the Holy Ghost is. A lot of controversy has particularly surrounded the term baptized with the Holy Ghost. A lot of different schools of thought have sprung up, and I couldn't blame people for getting absolutely into a tangle when they listen to preachers contradicting each other and sometimes a preacher contradicting himself. And if there's one thing I can't stick, it's a preacher contradicting himself. He can contradict me. Of course, he's going to be wrong. But when he contradicts himself, I think that's crazy. Now, some preachers will tell you that this baptism of the Holy Spirit only means regeneration. It's the same as the indwelling Spirit. Others will tell you, no, it's a second work of grace. Others will tell you, no, it's a sign, it's a fullness that is signaled by speaking in tongues. Others will tell you that it was for a past day and it's not for this day. Others will tell you it's something that happens to every Christian when he's saved. Others will tell you it happens after he's saved. Others will tell you it's something that happens once. Others will tell you it's something that happens many times. And when you've listened to a lot of them, your head's just about to burst and you say, is there any hope of getting any light and any certainty? Has the Holy Ghost left it all so shrouded in mystery that the wayfaring man, though a fool, can't find his way? I don't think so. Again, let me lay down what I believe is a general principle which ties together the references in the New Testament. I believe that any, let me emphasize the word, any overwhelming outpouring of the grace of the Holy Spirit can fitly and is fitly termed a baptism. I think that is the significance. It is the pouring out which constitutes the baptism. And I think when you turn to the Scriptures, that is the all-important part of the theme. It is the outpouring of the Spirit's grace. And any such overwhelming outpouring of the Spirit's grace may fitly be termed a baptism. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, we are told that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now, there are shades of reference there which have occurred to me which I don't want to get sidetracked into this morning. But let me say here, the reference is to that grace of the Holy Spirit which puts us into the body of Christ. And that's called baptism in the Spirit, into the body. A baptism in the Holy Spirit which results in us being put into the body of Christ. What is that baptism? It is an overwhelming, let me again emphasize the word, an overwhelming effusion of the grace of God the Holy Spirit. It is the irresistible working in grace of the Spirit of God upon the dead souls of man, which communicates life to them and puts them as living members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call that regeneration. And it's fitly called a baptism by the Spirit into the body. But here in Acts chapter 5, the reference isn't to regeneration. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, rather. The reference isn't to regeneration. And yet baptism is used. And the very fact that baptism is used here leads so many people to confuse this with regeneration. But it's plain that this is not regeneration. There is not a thought, there's not a single word in this chapter which would make us think that the Lord Jesus is saying to the disciples that they will be regenerated on the day of Pentecost. Rather, he is saying to them, and this runs right through the passage and the subsequent chapter, he is saying to them that the Holy Spirit's grace will be overwhelmingly outpoured upon them so as to communicate to them power. I want you to get that. Power to witness and power for service. It's interesting that in John 20, verse 22, the Lord Jesus had already given them the Holy Spirit. He breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. These people had the indwelling of the Spirit of God already. Now he is saying to them, not that you're going to be regenerated all over again, but rather that you are going to receive power. And that mighty, overwhelming demonstration and outpouring of the grace of the Holy Spirit in power for service is also fitly called a baptism in the Holy Ghost. You will notice the reference to John and his baptism. Well, I think that that solves a lot of mysteries as well, because that means that we can only interpret Acts 1 and 5 in terms of the language of Matthew 3 and verse 11, where you have John baptizing the people and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And it's interesting, in the day of Pentecost, you have the two references, the Holy Ghost and the tongues of fire. And that contradicts a lot of preaching. You'll hear preachers today and they'll tell you that Pentecost was the fulfillment of the first part, baptized with the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord Jesus comes back in judgment, that will be the fulfillment of the second part, baptized with fire. But they're both put together. This baptism is the fulfillment of what John spoke in Matthew 3 and 11. It's the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Can I just cover another little controversy in the way past? An awful lot of dogmatic ranting is heard on the meaning of the word baptism. Many of you have heard of A.W. Pink, great writer. I don't recommend all that A.W. Pink wrote, because it seems to me as he got more doctrinally correct, he went further astray in other areas, sad to say. But A.W. Pink was certainly one of the greatest Bible teachers of this century. And he once said, you'll find it in his little book, The Interpretation of Scripture, which I thoroughly commend to every Christian to study. He once said that surely no Christian ought to be in need to be taught that the meaning of the Holy Ghost is not to be ascertained finally on the authority of some heathen Greek writer and how he uses a word. And yet so many evangelicals and fundamentalists will come and they'll tell you, baptism means dipping. Baptism means only submergence. Now, if somebody wants to believe that, I have been submerged in water, I'm not going to fight with you. But I do get rather irritated when I hear somebody who can hardly read the English language sometimes telling me that the etymology, the root of the Greek word, can only mean to dip. That this Greek verb baptizo comes from the word bapto, which means to dip. I wonder why then the Lord didn't just use bapto if he meant to say dip. And only dip. And we are told that the Greeks, when they used this word, they meant to dye a garment. And to dye a garment, you've got to submerge a garment. Therefore, it means submerge. Now, let me just say this. What the Greeks use this word for is beside the point. It's what the Holy Ghost uses it for that worries me and interests me. And I freely admit, as does every Protestant, Presbyterian, Reformed person, whatever his views in baptism, that the word can mean to dip, but not necessarily so. And you will see here that it cannot mean to dip in this connection. We never read about Christians being submerged in the Holy Ghost, although, mind, I have read of a few well-known preachers who have tried to picture this and them being submerged in the Holy Ghost. It's nonsense. You can see it's nonsense. What is this baptism? It is the pouring out. So when anybody tells you that the word baptize cannot mean to pour, you will remember the words of Acts chapter 1 and compare them with the other references which I have already given you. And you will see that this business of splitting the camp of God's people on the meaning of a word, when they ought to be standing together to fight the devil and the devil's crowd, is sickening to the mind that's imbued with the Spirit of Christ, surely, and is sickening to the Lord himself. You can hold as dearly as you like to your particular view of baptism, and the Lord bless you in it. I believe the free church has gone a long way in the right direction when it has said we will allow men their conscience honestly before God, and we are not going to make enemies of God's people just because of their views on baptism as an ordinance of the church, and certainly recognizing that it has no saving virtue in and of itself. Let me say this just practically in closing on the promise of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, wait for this. Wait for this. Because without a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost, you'll never do anything for God. Wait for this. Don't run ahead. Don't go as a preacher who has not been sent and anointed. Don't try to do the work of God in the arm of flesh. For as the psalmist David said, vain is the help of man. He cried, Lord, you give us help from trouble. Vain is the help of man. And then when he thinks of the power of God coming upon him, he says, but through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Oh, let us obey the Lord then, and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.